Tonight, we shall turn to the second book of Timothy, chapter 3, and continue in our studies in that book. And we continue with the characteristics of perilous times. You remember the last time we came to this book, we ended the characteristics of perilous time chapter part 1. So we'll continue with part 2 today, as Apostle Paul was trying to describe to us the character of perilous times. You can remember he showed to us the character of false Christians who by their sinful conduct will cause blame on Christianity, and that he named the attitude of such from verse 2 down to up to verse 5, and we are not going to read them, but he mentioned the various kinds of character which we dealt in details when we met the other time, and also how such conduct, as he enumerated them, shall have negative effects on true godliness, because as the Church of Christ, which ought to be holy and show that character which befit what Christ is and how he has purchased his church, if any adverse character springs in it and have influence, it really undermines true godliness, because as you know that Christ saves us to prepare us for heaven, so he, as we were strangers to way of godliness, holy lives, in Christ Jesus we are taught the way of holiness, and step by step and gradually we embrace and move on and continue to walk in that. So anything that will, or any attitude and conduct in a church that does not depict that, has an adverse effect on true godliness. And also, so that in the last, he said that the last days will be difficult, will be perilous, and that means as such attitudes are manifesting itself in a church, it will make Christianity very difficult. In the last days, that though there will be more, as we see, many churches, many who claim to be Christians, but what Christianity should stand for in reality, many are lacking. So that is perilous times. That character depicts perilous times. Times where religion is only manifested by forms, by just appearance, as he said in verse 5. Having such who have these sinful characters, so they have a form of having form of godliness, verse 5, but deny the power thereof. He told Timothy, from such turn away. From such who might be in the church, who might call themselves Christian, but their character traits does not agree with what Christianity has to be. Say, from such we should turn away, we should not have any ties with them. So, as he told Timothy, so are we also to be watchful against such conduct, as if we would like to persevere in our faithfulness to the Lord, if we are not vigilant, such conduct may also affect us. We might not totally be as worldly and bad as the character is, but we may begin to show little of these characters. And as you know, the Holy Spirit dwells where the things of Christ are progressing, the things of Christ are loved and helpful. And the thing that opposes things of Christ, the Holy Spirit cannot grow there. And the things, our spiritual nature cannot grow. It will be undermined. So we learn that for us to persevere in faithfulness to the Lord, we must be watchful against such conduct which Apostle Paul enumerated from verse 2 to verse 4. So now we move on to verse 6. And he said, for this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. For this sort, the Apostle Paul is showing that among these false Christians who have a form of holiness but deny the power thereof, among them, often out of them, we see false teachers. They will breed false teachers. Because as people had a form and a kind of religion which is not true, definitely out of them they will arise false teachers. So of this sort, the teachers who are also false like these people, of this kind of Christians, of this sort are they which creep into houses. Meaning these false teachers, these false that come out of this false Christianity, they are these their way of propagating their errors or lies is by sneaking into homes under the cover of religion. They have a form of religion, and then, though their religion seems to be a form, a kind of religion which we call Christianity, because they are false, whatever teachers that come out of them, they begin to teach false things. They begin to teach things that are not according to true godliness. So, instead of, for this sort, are they which creep into houses. The kind of false teachers that spring out of this false Christianity, they begin to propagate their errors and lies undercover. They sneak, they creep. The word creep them is to sneak. I mean, somebody who wants to steal himself to a place to do some bad things. So it's like, that's what Apostle Paul is saying. They are not open in endeavoring to propagate their views. They try to get, a place where they're able to really, propagate their views to people who they think they can catch them. So they know that their teachings are not sound. They know that they cannot prove from Scripture. They cannot really draw true doctrine from Scripture, and yet they go on and teach. So they are for this sort are they which creep into houses. They creep into houses and led captive silly women. What do they do? And led captive silly women. That is, they make captive for weak-minded women and deceive them with their lies or erroneous teachings. We don't know the woman Apostle Paul is teaching. It could be at that time, there were people who were, women who were in that group, and he called captive, that means weak-minded women. And he said that they lead them to captive, they lead captive silly women. They lead them to erroneous teachings. So such women are ignorant of Scripture, and also morally and spiritually, they are empty. Meaning, these women might have been in a church. They are not true Christians. So when these false teachers came up, they also embraced their teachings, and as I said, they lead captive silly women. They make them captive. They make them as if they are slaves, so that they are able to direct their way of religion. And these women follow them, leading with and. Look at the character of this weak woman spiritual. The silly woman here, weak-minded people. Weak-minded person. So this woman are weak-minded, and those that is morally or spiritually weak. He said, they are what? Led away with sins, led away with diverse lust. These women are full of sinful burdens. I mean, they have been entangled with so much sins. They are not. They seem to. Be in the church or have a form of religion, but they have not repented of their sin. They are still in their sinful ways, and it seems that they were willing to look for teachers who help them in their sinfulness. So they lead them into captivity, promising them whatever that they think will bring them liberty. And these women are willing to give themselves to this. And it is said that how false teaching often have influence on women more than men. It's a general thing people often say. Most of false churches often have a lot of women more than men. I don't know why it is so, but if you look at what Apostle Paul is saying, that meaning that women seem to be a weak side. The Bible tells that they are weak. I mean, as we look at Adam and Eve, the serpent came and attacked Eve first, and then through Eve, he got the man. But then, if women are truly godly, they cannot be led astray. But that's the fact. But it seems generally women are easily led, become a prey for these false teachers, as Apostle Paul is saying. And we don't know in Ephesians how that was. It gives that general picture. And truly, if you look at most of these false churches, that was even in time ago, those churches, we call them spiritual churches. Most of them, women are the majority of in these churches. So we don't know why it is so. But I think, as Scripture have told us, that women seem to be the weaker vessel. I think that is why Apostle Paul himself told us in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 that the women have to even learn from their husband if they will learn anything at all. That, and he even gave that they were deceived first before. The man will deceive so that they should be obedient to the man. And there's wisdom in that, because God knows why he made man first, because he seems to be a bit careful. But that's what we can draw from. But then we Apostle Eternal said that in Ephesus there were a group of women, who were entangled in their sins, and they loved to follow after false teachers. So what lesson can we learn from this false teachers and their followers? And as they led this week, women, and as I said, women who are godly cannot be led astray. Those who have been grounded, who have been born again, they are still, they cannot be led astray. So these men are all repentant, they are still in their sins. So definitely, the same way like men, when they are unrepentant, they can be led astray. So it's not only women, it's general. So from there we learn that people who are unconverted and who delight in their sins, several of them are always excited by the teachings of false teachers. It is very common. Those who teach falsehood are able to catch people who are already in their sins and still want to be religious. Because why? Their teachings promises a form of religion which disregards true godliness. People are okay if they can have a Christianity which is not strict, a Christianity which allows them to do what they want, so long as they can go to church, be accepted, and all that. So people who are unconverted, delight in, who still are in their sinful habit, always are excited about false teachers. As I said, they are teaching what teaches them maybe just regard godliness. Somebody might not be attending church, but I think they'll be attached to some of these so-called false prophets, these so-called prophets in our days. They will be following them, they're happy with their teachings and all that. Why? Because this false prophet promises them that they are okay. They don't need to be saved. They only need their blessing from the so-called false prophet. So long as they are maybe they're able to bless them, they are okay. So they don't need the blessing of God. So people are okay. They'll go on with their life, and yes, they think that they are somehow religious. And you know that such people are careless of sincere faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They don't care that whether they have faith in Him or not. And you know that for anyone to become a Christian, it begins in faith in Christ Jesus, total faith in Him, resting hope of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And also, it comes to become a Christian, it comes by salvation, by grace alone. But those who don't want to repent, who don't want to be repentant, and rest their hope in Christ, they don't even want to think of grace alone. They think that at least whatever they can do can be able to help them. And those who also are unconverted, but they're excited by false teachings, they don't care about self-denial. They don't care about how they will deny themselves. And also of reverence worship, they don't care if the worship they want to attend is reverence or not. They don't care. So long as they're able to worship, they are okay. And also, they don't care that whatever they are doing depends on scripture or not. They are okay. They also don't care to obtain a true knowledge of God and His ways, how God is and how God wants us to relate to Him. They don't care. So long as this false teacher promises them that God, all that you need maybe to pay your tithe, all that you need maybe to be fasting, all that you need maybe come here and pray, they are okay. And that's what now the people of religion depend on. So long as they follow certain prophet who is popular, who commands them to do things, they are okay. They don't care whatever God's word have said, whether how to worship, how to be saved, how sins will be repented of. They don't care about that. In 2 Timothy 2:19, he tells us that while they promise liberty, they themselves are servants of corruption. These so false teachers and false prophets, they promise so much liberty to people. Oh, you are blessed. Oh, you are the head, not the tail. God is blessing you with so many. They say so many things. Yet these men themselves have no savior. They don't even know how. They don't know the way to God. I listened to, I think my radio. I think there was one of these popular Ghanaian pastors telling the people that so long as they have come to that place. I think he was teaching from the promises God made to Abraham, that you bless him and his descendants. So he was taking that promise to themselves that so long as you have come here, God is going to bless you and your descendants. What and then people are saying, amen. Meaning, God is going to give you worldly possessions, and in your family, there will be no one who will be maybe addicted to anything. There will be no barrenness in your family. This was what he was trying to say. And they were saying, amen, they are claiming it. Because you have come to their place of worship. That's where God's blessing is being realized. And people were happy. You know, in that case, people don't care of their sinfulness. Because they have been told that since they have come here, God's blessing to Abraham is for them. So these are one of the things that people who are still in their sinful state, and yet they want to have religion, they are happy with false teachers. So they go on with them. So also, this also teaches us that believers who do not persevere to ground all their beliefs on sound teachings of the Bible are easy prey for false teachers. If we do not learn to be grounded in scriptural truth, these false teachers can also sweep us away. Not that we lose our salvation, but our beliefs will be distorted. We shall not be strong in the things that we believe. Every wind of doctrine will blow your faith if you do not learn for yourself through biblical doctrines. Because these false teachers might quote from scripture and might say many, many bold things from scripture. So if you yourself are not grounded, you will learn that astray, or else it will make you confused about the things you have once again learned before. And you know, most of these false teachers, they will tell you that doctrine is not that important, but it's love. Love. You remember this common saying that doctrine divides, but love unites. It's so strange. How can someone know the love of God if he doesn't learn the biblical doctrine of love? Love itself is a doctrine to be learned from scripture. How can you know how to love according to the Bible if you don't learn the doctrine of love? And yet, most of this, first thing I will tell you that doctrine divides, love unites. So, no, don't worry yourself with doctrines. You are too much bookish and all that. Let's think of love. What is love? If we don't know what God's love is in the Bible. So you see that they always use lies to try to get people. As Apostle Paul is telling Timothy that these false teachers creep into houses, lead her captive, silly women laden with sins. People who are already burdened, they are entangled in their sins. They love any promises of happiness of God with them. If somebody tells them, it doesn't matter who you are, you continue in your life, only do this and then God will be happy with you. And they are happy. For instance, if you consider the influence that this prosperity gospel, false teaching about tongue speaking nowadays, fake miracles, fake prophecies, disco worship, theatrical worship, disco, I call it disco worship because it's the same as people who go to disco. How this kind of false thing has on many Christians today. Many people are so much given to this prosperity teaching, prosperity gospel, sow seed and whatever, and false teaching about tongue speaking, and all the various teaching about it, the fake miracles, the fake prophecies, and disco worship. This has had strong influence on many Christians, the larger Christians today. And yet, those who adhere or follow after these things, many are so ignorant in the teachings of scripture, concern even the purpose of Christ's redemption. People are giving themselves to prosperity gospel, and yet they don't even know what Christ's redemption is about. They are being deceived that to be saved or to for Christ to save you is to have the prosperity of the world, to be prosperous and never to get sick, to be the head of the tail. And also, they are talking much about the work, the gift of the Holy Spirit, of tongues and miracles, and yet the very person and the work of the Holy Spirit, they are ignorant. If you ask them anything scripturally about the person and work of the Holy Spirit, many are ignorant. They will claim that, they have the gift of tongues, they have the gift of this, and yet they don't even know how the Bible teaches about these things. They don't know, and yet they claim to have the gift. They don't even care what determines true spiritual growth. They don't care. Can you say you're a Christian and you are a strong, mature Christian, you don't know about spiritual growth, how the Bible teaches about that? They are also ignorant of reverence worship. They say they are having the best kind of worship, they are happy, they are enjoying it, but yet, what the Bible teaches about worship, they are ignorant of. And even when they talk of sufficiency of scripture, they care less. All that they know about is that they have the gift, and that is all. They're able to worship and enjoy themselves. So you see that the ignorance of people has led these false teachings to have influence on many people. People are ignorant, yet they hold on to this false teaching. If you tell them they are wrong, they see you as even a wrong person.
And all because people are ignorant of scripture teachings on these things. And so long as people are ignorant, they'll be misled. As like these women who have been laden with their sins. They are not really repented, they are not really Christians. So whatever people, anyone promises them about religion, they take it and they go on with it. And Apostle Paul continued, these women, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. And these women who have been led away with diverse lusts, he said that ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. This group of women who are trooping after the false teachers in Ephesus, as it was first and last, they are learning, but they are never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Why? These women, I mean, who are following these false teachers, are always learning new things from these false teachers. They are telling them new things which are not even scripture, and they are very happy to follow after them. They are able to tell them things which lead them to a form of religion, but not to genuine Christianity. They are able to tell them things, and they are as if they want to get to the end of the purpose for which Christianity is, but they are not able to get to. So these silly women could not come to the full knowledge of the saving truth of the gospel, the truth that sets sinners free from sin's dominion. This is the truth. To come to the knowledge of the truth is to come to the truth that bring liberty from sin, which is in Christ. To know that Christ Jesus has come to this world and that he has come to die for sin, and he is the one who is truly God and yet truly man, and he is the one whose example we have to follow. So these people are not able to come to this knowledge of the truth of God, which also tells us about the Trinity, the triune God, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and their covenant they have made to bring salvation to human race who have been subject to sin. This truth they are not able to come from because they have been learning different things which are different from the truth which Christ have taught his disciples. So they are not able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Remember in John chapter 8 verse 32, the Lord Jesus Christ told us that ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth in Christ Jesus, the truth of salvation, the way of salvation, and the truth that leads to salvation, Christ Jesus. If anyone comes to that knowledge of true recognition and knowledge of it, knowing what it is to the soul, that person gets it. But these women, they are not able to come to this knowledge of the truth. And it is the same with many who are being led by these false teachers. Their knowledge of the gospel, their knowledge of salvation, is not according to the scriptural truth. It's so diverted from what is according to truth in the scripture. And so they are not free from their sin. They are still not liberated because they don't know the truth. You see how many have been captivated by their sin and they still think that they have religion. They are not free until we are aware of our forgiveness of sin, until we are aware that Christ's death for us has really brought to us a new nature. We are not at liberty from our sins. We are still under the dominion of sin. It doesn't matter the kind of religion, the kind of religion we put across. We are still under the bondage of sin. And why are they not able to come to knowledge of the truth? Because they love their sins. They don't desire repentance. These women, remember what Apostle Paul said, they have been laden. To be laden, do you know to be laden? It's like to be loaded. When we say a vessel is laden, that means it has been what? Loaded with what? Cargo. So these people who are full of their sins, because when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, our sins are unburdened, are offloaded from us. Remember in the pilgrim program, when Christian went to the cross, the sin on his back, tear off, and he was free. So these people, because they are still under this bondage, they are not free. And they are not because they love their sins. People who cannot repent love their sins. They cannot repent. They desire no repentance. And they are not content. And because they love their sins, how can they follow the Lord Jesus Christ? So they are not content to follow Christ and the simplicity of his commands. They rather love to follow after strange teachings. Things that will at least make them okay despite their emptiness of salvation. And what a tragedy that people are willing to go in for anything. but not salvation. And yet, they think that they are okay, God will be okay with them. It's a certain, you know. And as in Corinthians, we are told that the God of this world has blinded their eyes because they love, he has blinded their eyes, and because they are in their sinful nature, they don't desire to repent. So this must teach us that many may hear some gospel sermons, but if they are not content to rest their hope of salvation on the promises of in the gospel, they can never be saved. If I hear that Christ has died for my sin, if I'm not willing to rest my hope on them, I can never be saved. Because how can I be saved if I don't rest on these promises? They can never realize its saving power. The gospel will be heard over and over again, but its saving power will not be ours. We can never taste it because we are not willing to part way with our sins. There are many others also who learn many doctrines of Christianity but are strangers to practical Christianity. Many learn many things from Christianity, but they are what? Strangers to practical Christianity. What do we talk about practical Christianity? There's a difference between knowing all the doctrines of the Bible of Christianity and also living according to the knowledge of what we have learned. Ever learning and never able to come to knowledge of the truth. The knowledge of the truth is not only head knowledge. When people are convinced of something, what do they do? They live by. So when people are not able to live according to the knowledge of the gospel, which we have in scripture, which we learn, then they are still not able to come to the full knowledge of the truth. That's another aspect of it. So many learn many things in Christianity, many doctrines, but not, they are stranger to practical Christianity. Their lives don't show the doctrine they proclaim. Their lives don't show the things they teach, the things they hold, because they don't want to submit totally to the truth. It's not strange to see somebody who is a carpenter, but cannot be, he's not able to even hit a nail with a hammer. Whenever he hits the nail, then the nail passes somewhere, the hammer passes somewhere. But yet, you see, in Christianity, you have many professors who are empty of spiritual fruits, and yet they go by the name of Christ. Such are ever learning, they are not able to come to knowledge of the truth. Our knowledge of Christ is not only intellectual, it's practical. The more, if we have learned more, and if really we, whatever we learn, we came to full understanding of it, it should translate into our lives. So you see, not only those who have not really are in their sins and don't want to repent, but yet, if we also learn the truth of Scripture, we are not able to see grace to live by, we are also not able to come to the full knowledge of the truth. We are not able to come to the full knowledge of the truth. In John 8:31, Lord Jesus Christ said that he said to the Jews, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. Some claimed to believe on him after his encounter with them, a long conversation he had with them. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. There's one thing saying I have believed, and there's one thing continuing in the love or in the word, in the what examples of what Christ has commanded us to live by. So it is not enough to learn God's truth. It is only when we love, keep, and live by what we have learned. When we are striving to live by what we have learned, then we depict that truly we are coming to the full knowledge of the truth, the knowledge that has impacted our lives. So until then, we are able to show this, which will show our genuineness. Then, if we are not able to show, we might tend to be hypocrite, because it's our duty, if we are true Christians, to seek grace to be able to practice what we learn. For instance, if I lack the love for the brethren, or I have found it hard to relate to even Christian brethren, how can I? It's my duty to do. How can I do? I have to ask for grace. All of us, we all have our impediment. Somebody has, I'm not patient toward, it's hard for me to be patient, but when I know I become a Christian, it's grace that will be able to help us to calm our tempers down. How can I grow in the love of Christ? It's grace. How can I be zealous about the things of Christ? It doesn't come by chance. No. It's grace. We ask for grace. Yeah, this is what I'm doing. But the Bible says I should do more. I should give. I should my time should be, the best of my time should be spent more on the things of Christ. But here am I. I'm struggling. I have to ask for grace. God is able to give us grace to do whatever He commands us to do. So you see, for us to be able to come to the full knowledge of the truth, it's not only in knowing it, but persevering, even to ask for grace to be, so that we're able to do the things we ought to do, and not to let them slip while we move on with our life. No, if we do that, it's disobedience. And indeed, the Lord, if we are truly His people, if He has saved us, we will receive our discipline. We don't know how it will come out, but the Lord will discipline us. But then, we are given the liberty, access to God to ask for grace. And we have to. We have to go to Him. Because He has commanded us to be maybe loving, be patient, be caring, and to be able to deal with people. And then we have to go to Him. Okay, so we move on to verse 8. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Jannes and Jambres, we have no record of these two people mentioned anywhere in the Bible except here. But it is generally believed that those magicians that opposed Moses before Pharaoh, they were it seems that they were the chief men among them. But that in Exodus chapter 7, verse 2. So now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so that gives us the impression. They resisted Moses by imitating. How did they resist Moses? They resisted Moses by imitating his miracles. So rejecting the evidence that he was sent from God. That's what they did. Jannes and Jambres, before Pharaoh, tried to prove to Pharaoh that Moses and Aaron were not sent from God, because they also can do the same thing. But Moses came to Pharaoh and told him, God said, you should let my people go. God has sent me. And what is the sign? Remember what the Lord told Moses and Aaron before they went to Pharaoh. He said in Exodus 7, verse 9, he said that, when Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, show a miracle for you, then thou shalt say unto Aaron, take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. So God purposely commanded for them to do that miracle to authenticate that He has sent them. But Jannes and Jambres and other magicians tried also to disprove what God had foretold Moses and Aaron. So when they had performed the miracle before Pharaoh, his magicians also did a similar thing to discredit them. That's the purpose they did. So Apostle said that, so do this also resist the truth. Those false teachers are acting like Jannes and Jambres, who were discrediting Moses before Pharaoh. So those magicians who opposed the authenticity of Moses' message as one sent by God, in a similar way, the false teachers which creep into houses to teach false things also oppose the progress of the gospel by promoting erroneous doctrine which leads sinners away from salvation. What false teachers do is they promise a kind of religion to sinners which make their sinners to be okay with themselves, and yet they are lost in the ways of salvation. So as Jannes and Jambres try to discredit Moses before Pharaoh, so is the activities of these all false teachers, because whatever they are doing, they are working against the true gospel of Christ, where people have to realize their sinfulness and give themselves to be saved. So the apostle is saying that Jannes and Jambres, the attitude of these false teachers, also they resist the truth that is in Christ Jesus. And how does he describe them? He said that men of corrupt minds. These false teachers, they are men of corrupt minds. That is, these false teachers hold on to bad principles which are offensive to the grace of God and the glory of Christ. The grace of God that brings salvation, which we are told in Titus, has appeared unto all men. But these false teachers, they have opportunity to gather people and teach. But how do they tell people? They tell them their own opinions. Go to many churches today. How many pastors, how many preachers are preaching the gospel of Christ? How many preachers are arguing with people to come to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? No. Come, and they baptize you. You are part of God's family. And they are making people to think they are Christians, and people are dying and going to hell. When people promise people that they are Christians, And they don't care of their conversion. They don't really know if they are being saved, and the people are okay. And they think they are Christians. They are letting these people are away from Christ. Because the purpose of Christ for his church is that his church should manifest to the world that he has come to be the savior of the world. So, the attitude of this false prophet is what? Men of corrupt mind, their mind is in advance against the proper mind of true Christians. Not only that, they are not only offensive to the grace of God and the glory of Christ. He said they are reprobate concerning the faith. The word reprobate means something rejected or worthless. So this false teachers and their teachers, they are reprobate. So in relation to the gospel truth, which leads, as 2 Peter 1 Peter tells us, that it leads unto life and godliness. The gospel truth. Life unto life and godliness, eternal life, and a life of holiness that pleases God through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. This is what the gospel does. So you see, when anybody thinks of the gospel and thinks of world prosperity and any other thing apart from people having this eternal life and living in life that pleases God, it's out of the way. No matter how brilliant they will speak, no matter how promises they will make, if it does not lead people to having salvation, so that they have eternal life, and also living to please God, they are false. It doesn't matter whatever they teach. So, instead of reprobate concerning the faith, these false teachers, they are teaching them whatever they do. The false teachers have failed. That's what we're trying to say. They have failed the test. The word reprobate, we are told that in the original Greek word, it means that how people test metals. You see, when they are, maybe they're scraps, they try to test to see anyone which is really metal. There are some maybe who have been not proper metal. So when they pass them through the fire, there are some that will not be able to pass the test. So here he's using the word reprobate, meaning that their manner of teaching and the test that it has produced, it has fallen short of the purpose of the gospel truth of Christ, simply as such. So being destitute of true Christianity, but they hold on to an imitation. These false teachers and their teachings does not lead people to Christ. It leads people astray. It makes people, instead of embracing Christ and leaning upon him, and let them rather lean upon something else. And if people are not resting their hope in Christ, then what are they gaining? As in Christ said, if we gain the whole world and lose our souls, what are we gaining? Whatever we gain through religion, if we never have salvation, we have lost all. So this report, they are reprobate, and whatever they produce has failed the test of the gospel truth. So in verse 9, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. Meaning, although these false teachers may increase in ungodliness and become even worse and worse in error, but their hypocrisy will not continue further than the magicians of Egypt. That's what he's trying to say. But they shall not proceed further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs, Jannes and Jambres, their folly or their error was made manifest at the end in Egypt. That's what he's trying to say. So, though they become worse and worse, their hypocrisy will not continue further than the magicians of Egypt, who only deceived Pharaoh and Egyptians by their lying wonders, only for a period. You know, when they started, they produced the snakes, and they went on, they produced some of the things Aaron and Moses were able to do by way of miracle. But I said that for their folly shall be manifest unto all men as theirs was. That is, the falsehood of the false teachers will be exposed, soon like that of Jannes and Jambres. As I said, the initial day deceived the Egyptians and inferred himself that they were powerful people. But they were exposed when the boils got them. You see, there was one of the plagues that brought boils to all the people in Egypt. And we were told that even the magicians had the boils, they couldn't move about. And people were like, oh, this is quite just mere men. They are deceiving us. And also, after the boils, they couldn't, God told Moses to produce lies, which affected all the people. The magicians couldn't produce again. And what did they do? And now they came and confessed to Pharaoh. The plague was the finger of God. They admitted. So what Pastor Paul is saying is that these forces, they might have their way, they might go on and even show that as today we have these false miracles going on, claiming themselves to be some people, but he said that their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as Jannes and Jambres' folly also was manifested. The Egyptians and Pharaoh himself realized they were liars, for they had to admit that what Moses and Aaron were doing was the finger of God. God's hands was in them. They admitted that they were genuine. So Apostle Paul called the attitude of false teachers as folly, which means that madness and stupidity, because they are run against that which is right. Like Apostle Paul, before he became Paul, he was so run against the gospel. What did Christ told him? He's kicking against the pricks. He's hitting himself against the truth. The truth is there. He doesn't want to take it. He wants to hit himself against it. That's what false teachers are doing. They are hardening themselves against the truth. And it's stupidity and madness. For instance, who knows there's a fire, but he'll run himself into it. That's what they are doing. They are running themselves into the judgment of God, into what God will bring upon Satan and his angels. You read Revelation, say that the false teachers, false prophets, were cast into the lake of fire with Satan and his angels, and those who followed them. And they were lying on them, they deceived many. But they will proceed no further. Their stupidity will be made manifest. And indeed, it matters to invent a way of religion and color it with Christianity. And many, many today are doing so. They care not what the Bible teaches. They care not. And even if you remind them, we also have the grace of God. And they will say the grace of God is on them. And they want to do whatever they want to do. So what do we learn from this? We must learn that false teachers themselves are misled by Satan. He has convinced them to believe in a lie. So that is why they are very strong in it. They have a conviction. False teachers, sometimes we think that, they are just ignorant. They have a strong conviction in the lie they are doing. I think I read a book, was it, I forgot the name, it's Kingdom of Courts, yes. And I heard a writer was saying that he witnessed various cults and occult religions, and he concluded that sometimes we think that these false churches or false religions, they are just ignorant. No, they have a conviction in what they are doing, that they are doing something substantive. No, they are misled. That's what he said, and it's true. Sometimes we think that, they are ignorant, just ignorant. Yes, it's ignorance, but they have a conviction in what they are doing. So, let us know that these people have been led to deceive and lie. In 1 Timothy 4:1-2, we read that now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to the seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with hot iron. Look at the description about the false teachers. They have been what? They give heed to seducing spirits because they like lies. And doctrines of our devils. So you see, it's not just an ignorance. They have been led into very serious things. Speaking lies, and even when they are lying, they cover it up as if it is truth. Their conscience has been seared with hot iron. Close up. Recently, I heard that some pastors teach in their church members, they call something demonology or something, which may be that teaching is about demons in churches. Some of these charismatic churches. And do you know what they told me? They said that they teach them there are some bad demons and good demons. So they teach them the way they can dispel the bad ones and then have a way with the good ones. And it's a church. It's interesting. That's what they are doing. I've heard it on a radio station, somebody talking about spiritual realm and talking a similar thing about this. I think on Sunday FM or something like that. He was giving details and as if, and it's not in scripture. You ask yourself, where did they get this thing from? And their churches. What are they doing? So this is just one, but there are many false teachings like this that lead people into occultism, yet under the name of Christianity. These days, because as we know in Romans chapter 1, it says that when people do not like to retain the knowledge of God, when they are aware of it, God gave them up, and they follow after every foolish thing, every deception. And they'll be worse and worse. And they'll be worse and worse. Look at how they are teaching. Teaching about demons, and I don't know where they got this from. So let us also learn that God will surely expose false teachers. That's what the verse tells us. They are fully I said, is it that in verse 9, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. So let us learn that God will surely expose false teachers, either in their lifetime or when even they are dead. I remember a colleague of mine was arguing, I told him that, oh, false teachers will be exposed. He told me, oh, but there are many who have been died, they were never exposed. I said, yes, whether they die or they are alive, God will expose them. Because their works, which remain, will show that their works were false. Or in their lifetime, they will be made manifest. There were some of these forces who taught people to believe that sicknesses, poverty, losses, and disappointment were from Satan. Yet they themselves were swept away by some sickness or misfortune. We hear some of these forces, how they died. They died through sicknesses. And it is, but yet these people, when their lifetime, they promised before that, you shall not die. And sickness from, and you realize that at their death, they were taken to hospital and they died miserably. It's not new. If you read from, I think, in the early times of the Pentecostal movement, it's always like that. There's a woman called McPherson, and there's a woman called Calvin Coleman, and others. They all died in various normal sickness. And yet, in their lifetime, they claimed and told people that sicknesses were bad things, and that they were able to deliver them from. There are some also who claim to have power to deliver people's children from addiction, rebellion, and whatever, and yet they could not deliver their own children. Their children grow up, become addicted, and then sometimes they go into madness and all that. You see, these are false teachers. So as false teachers go their churches or ministries upon their own opinions, so often the church or the ministry dies with their demise. It's also, I've seen many these false churches, how in their lifetime, when the pastor the man was alive, the church was vibrant, immediately they died because they built it upon themselves, and the church is disintegrated, or the work is, there's a place in my hometown, if you go there today, I see nobody ever lived there. But when we were younger, it was the most populous place in our town, and when they have their programs, but when their so-called prophets die, decline. Today you go there, it's like a small place. Nobody even goes there. Yet the church is there. You see how God exposes their life. It tells you that whatever they were doing was on wrong opinions. Also, many are disgraced by, even in their lifetime or after they die, scandal, adultery, fraud, embezzlement. If you read nowadays, most of these mega churches in the U.S., how their pastors having scandals, either fraud, through adultery, through many things, and then but then they became popular and they were teaching false teachings all over, and something happened, many scandals that before them on their way. So God exposed them even in their lifetime for people to see that they were lies. And even God is able to, even within among their members, make people to see the truth, and they will see that, oh, you were once believing falsehood. So God exposes these people, so the scripture is true. So in this, when false teachers and their fellow influence increase, it indicates that the Church of Christ is in perilous times. That means the Church of Christ, because they also claim to be churches. And when people look at Christianity, that's what they see. I remember a Muslim will tell you, oh, you Christians do this and that, you see. That means they look at what these false people are doing and characterize what Christianity is. So we must expect it in Matthew 24, verse 11 to 13. We are told that, and many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of even true Christians shall wax old. But he that shall endure unto the end shall be saved. As if that when a Christian doesn't endure to an end, he shall not be saved. No. It tells us that the love of many, is that not true? Today, some Christians are not so strong as they ought to because of this, all this charismatic influence. They think that, after all, the work of God is no more working again. But our assurance is this. In Philippians 1:6, we are told that being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Christ. If we are really saved, if we are really converted, yes, religion will be in perilous times, it will be difficult, but what God has saved us for, we shall be able to accomplish. Yes, many might fall into false teachings, many might fall along the way, but we shall stand true because Christ will hold us. So that is our comfort. Our many people's lives will go cold. But yet, the people of God shall be preserved. They shall always be true to Him, though they might be few or they might not be recognized, but they shall always be true. So let us labor, if we are really saved, to be part of such who are always zealous for the Lord. Despite all the difficulty that Christianity is in, even in our time, so that we shall show forth what Christ has saved us for.